Diego. How are you?
I'm fine, and how are you?
I'm good. Are you calling from Spain?
Yes, calling from Spain. You might remember I did tell you that I'd phone, but it's just that we couldn't get to meet you the next night in the Twin Palms.
Oh, absolutely. Well, how's Spain?
It's fine. You know, to be honest with you, it's a bit too cold for me after coming back from California.
Sure.
You know, I did get used to the heat, and I think I'd like to come out and maybe spend a bit more time in California in the heat. But, you know, I mean, for the moment, obviously, I get on with what I do here, and as I say, I did tell you that I'd telephone, and this is what I'm doing.
Well, that's very kind of you. Which part of Spain are you in? Are you in the south, Marbella?
Well, no. If you go along from Marbella towards... have you heard of Benidorm?
Walter?
No.
Oh, okay.
And, I mean, basically, we've been living here for quite a while now, so, you know, it's sort of quite a Spanish thing, you know.
Right. Did you ever get a hold of Sexy Beast?
Who's that?
Oh, it's a movie I told you about.
Ah, no, sorry. No, to be honest with you, I've got that many phone numbers that have said I'll contact, and basically, you know, I'm just trying to make sure I do contact everybody.
Good.
But if you remember, the idea would have been that, you know, I was going to come along the next night, and we were going to set up a time to come and do a chat about your career. So, is this quite a good time for you normally?
Yeah. It's fine.
Okay, well, are you busy now, or would you prefer me to phone another night around this time?
No, I'm not busy at the moment. I'm just sitting here.
Okay, well, look, let's go into sort of what I call podcast mode. It's basically me to try and get some information about your career. So I'll start it now as if we're just starting the call, if that's okay with you.
Fine.
Okay, so in Palm Springs at the Twin Palms, I met up with Jimmy Frank, and basically we were talking about Jimmy's career. So first of all, very, very warm welcome to you, Jimmy.
Thank you. It's nice to be here,
or wherever.
Wherever, yeah.
Now, obviously, I heard you playing the piano when you were jamming with us at that particular session, and I liked your piano playing, but you were telling me you probably, your drums are your lead instrument, are they?
Yeah, I began playing drums in London. Well, no, it goes way back. Yeah, drums are my first instrument, but at the moment, or for the past few years, it's been easier to work being a keyboard player and a singer.
Ah, yes. Yes.
But, you know, I play both. I like playing both instruments, and I hope to play drums again. I don't know if I will, because everything is keyboard for me now.
Well, let me just ask you more about the early days, because, you know, I'm always interested in meeting people like yourself who have played with a lot of these big names, and of course the name that came up was Ronnie Lane and Slim Chance, and you drummed on a number of the sessions with him, didn't you?
Yeah, on that album.
Yeah.
I did. I believe that was for A&M. It's a fold-out album, and Ronnie and I didn't see eye to eye towards the end of the tour, and so he took my picture off of the band photo and put a picture of a very good friend of mine in London, also a studio drum named Glenn LeFleur, and it was okay with me, The band was really talented. Steve Simpson on guitar. A guy named Brian Belshaw played bass. A very talented guy who played keyboards and sax was a guy named Ruin. I guess it's R-O-E-N. Ruin O'Loughlin. And, you know, we did the album, and then we toured England. And I think we did some gigs in Scotland, I think, Edinburgh or Glasgow. But it was a pretty scary tour because the IRA had a campaign on during that time.
Yeah.
And it was during the time of a bombing in a pub in Birmingham called the Mulberry Bush. And we were there that night, you know, in that town. So we had a lot of bomb scares. We had to get off the stage
I think I remember that in the news, actually.
Yeah, right during our tour.
Yeah. So how did you meet Ronnie Lane? How did that all come about?
Okay, I had my own band. I was the lead singer of my own band in London, and it was called the Jimmy Frank Band, or the Frank Band. And we had just cut an album independently. The producer was John Alcock, and his claim to fame was he produced The Boys Are Back in Town, Thin Lizzy.
All right.
And we used to use Nova Studios, and we used that studio because John Entwistle was cutting his own albums, and his band was called Rigor Mortis. And when he was done at night, he and John Alcock were very good friends, and so we used up the extra studio time, which is very nice of both Johns, and we cut the album. The album then went to a management company in London, and they managed Ronnie Lane. And when they couldn't get a deal for my band, they asked me if I wanted to play drums for Ronnie. And reluctantly, I said sure, because, you know, my band was not about to get a deal, and I needed a job. So I went from lead singer and songwriter for my own band to playing drums for Ronnie. And, you know, I wasn't that familiar with him, you know, because I had always been into R&B and funk, and, you know, although I knew the Small Faces, and I certainly knew, you know, Itchy Coo Park and Maggie May. I mean, my God. So it was quite a musical change for me.
Yeah.
To be the lead singer and writer of a hard-hitting, you know, really good rock R&B band to playing drums for Ronnie, which was a whole different energy. It was very, you know, he was quite the character, and I have the utmost respect for him, certainly as a bass player. I mean, the guy is great, great. And but I was never too excited about being in the band, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
And it, you know, it just wasn't my cup of tea, as they say. And Ronnie sensed that.
Yeah.
And he's kind of tough now after a while. Plus, you know, it's a band that was fueled by Newcastle Brown Ale. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. But I am glad that I had the experience because the guy's a rock star, and had, you know, a lot of character. And it was okay for a while, but I moved on.
So you did work with other people as well, though, didn't you?
Oh, sure. I was in a band called Fox.
Ah, yes, I remember you telling me.
Yeah. Fox was after Ronnie Lane, and we had a hit called Only You Can, and then we had another hit called Imagine Me, Imagine You, and those songs and the band, the songs were written by Kenny Young, who was an American living in England, and Kenny Young wrote Under the Boardwalk.
Right.
Yeah, and that band was great. That band had Jerry Taylor on bass. Now he's from Frampton's Camel, and he's also the bass player on Jerry Rafferty's, you know, Baker Street.
Right.
And then there was a guy named Pete Sully, and he played keyboards, organ, and such. And he couldn't make the tour because his wife was ill, and she consequently passed away. So we had a guy named Mickey Garson. If you know that name?
No, I don't.
Okay. He was in Spiders from Mars.
Oh, I remember the name Spiders from Mars, yeah.
Yeah, Bowie. David.
Yes, yeah.
And so, and this lady named Nusha, who was our lead singer, had kind of a strange Mickey Mouse voice, but was really good for pop music.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's when I enjoyed, you know, kind of pop stardom, not on a major level.
Yeah.
But
a taste, you know, a taste nevertheless.
Oh, definitely. Mm. Sure. It was, you know, Top of the Pops, and then we did the equivalent to that in Germany. So
what took you across to America?
Well, I wanted to get away from England now, because that had been home for me for 18 years. And, like the first session I ever did was for Mickey Most, and that was in Abbey Road. And I think I was 21 years old. I was just out of college in America, and my folks were based in London. So I came home and met a guy who knew a guy who knew a guy. And then I got into doing an album for Julie Felix. And that was at Abbey Road. And that was with a guy named Big Jim Sullivan on guitar.
I remember that name, yeah.
Well, oh, sure. And then I got to work with the Kinks. I did three albums. Not in the Kinks, but the Kinks had their own label. It was called Conk. And they were released through RCA. But they had their own studio called Conk Studio up at their Muswell Hill. And Ray Davies was the producer. We did a band called Cafe Society, and in that band was a guy named Tom Robinson.
Oh, right. He did Motorway, didn't he?
Right.
Yeah.
But that was his band, and that was produced by the Kinks. Then I did an album where I played keyboards and drums on a Scottish kind of folk rocker named Claire Hamill. And she had a great album called Stage Door Johnnies. And so, I got to work with Ray Davies. And then, it was nice, I played drums on the demos for Dave Davies' solo album. And it was just me on drums, and a guy named Nick South on bass, and Dave Davies. And that was at Apple. So for a while there, I was in pretty good company. But after Fox, because the band did an album or two albums and a tour, Kenny Young would go to Thailand for 4 months or something, and the band would go, what's going on? And at that time, it was ready for me to go back to the States. My father had open heart surgery. I wanted to pursue a solo deal. And I was, at the time, I was signed to Island Publishing.
All right, yep.
Lionel Conway. So I had it with the rain and the cold, and I went back to L.A. and floundered, basically.
Mm. But you've obviously you've kept your playing skills, because in fact you've probably increased them by the sound of it, because your piano playing and your singing was really very impressive when we worked together.
Oh, good, glad you liked it. Yeah, you know, this is what I do, and it does seem to get better and better with age.
Yeah.
You know, more, you know, vocal control, microphone technique, choosing the right song. Yeah, I can play. I can play drums, and I can play keyboards, and I can play percussion, and harmonica.
Yes. And we were going to try and meet up in Indian Wells. I think you were at a piano bar one Saturday night, wasn't it?
Yeah, Casey's.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You know, I'm really sorry we couldn't make that.
Right. Well, you know, I'm there. I'm still there. So.
which can't be bad.
No. Nice work if you can get it. You know.
And how is the work situation in the States for you at the moment?
Well, you know, the work, you know, Palm Springs is just about my speed. I'm happy with the one night a week because it's such a nice gig and they're very respectful of me and the audience really likes it, and so it's great. The other thing in my life is that I have written a movie, and I've had it for a long, 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 long time. 20 years or so, and now there seems to be some real activity about that movie.
Tell us a little bit about the movie. Is it based on any particular event in your life?
No, it's based on, if I say to you, the Puget Sound. Do you know where that is?
No.
That's like, okay, that's in the Pacific Northwest. It's Seattle, Tacoma, Mount Rainier, huge rainforest, beautiful, beautiful. I lived up there for 11 years. I read a book about the 1855 Puget Sound Indian War, and I thought it would make a great movie. Now, I come from movies. I don't know if I told you about that.
No, you didn't.
My father. Oh, okay. Well, you can Google my father. He is Melvin Frank. And he wrote, produced, and directed such films as A Touch of Class, A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum, The Road Pictures with Bob Hope and Bing Crosby. He wrote White Christmas, Little Abner.
Wow.
The Court Jester with Danny Kaye. A lot of Bob Hope films. Lucille Ball. Jackson. Oh, yeah.
Fantastic career.
Yeah. Oh, and he had an incredible career. And the thing is, I chose to go into music, but I've always had, you know, film as part of my sense and my life. So when I read this book, I said, wow, this has to make a great action, true life, Indian film about Indians in America who have never been exposed, never been on film. You know, they aren't the, you know, like the Plains Indians, like the Sioux or the Cheyenne or the Apache. These are the salmon fishing Indians of the Pacific Northwest. So there is some real activity. I have an actor, a really good Indian actor, who has written me a letter saying I can use his name to raise money. His name is Wes Studi, and he was the bad guy in Dances with Wolves, and he was also the bad guy in Last of the Mohicans, and so that's up in the air. So, you know, the one night a week of entertaining is just about fine.
It sounds to me like if you've got that balance, isn't it, between if you did too much of that, you might miss out on a couple of good things that are happening with the films.
No, absolutely. And so, you know, in the music industry, you know, especially at this end of it, you know, which is basically, you know, playing, you know, restaurant gigs on a piano,
yeah,
and singing, it's just fine. You know, if out of the blue I'm offered some kind of, you know, record deal and the whole, you know, band and tour thing again, you know, it's fine. But, you know, I don't think it's going to happen.
No.
Not at 63 years old.
Yeah. You know. Yeah. Well, you never know. It might do. You never know. Didn't you tell me that your good lady sings as well?
She sings and she plays flute and percussion. Yeah, yes, she does. On the occasion, she joins me on stage.
Yeah.
But she's also been doing it a long time, so I do this new gig as, you know, a solo gig. She's happy staying at home, too, you know.
Yes.
She is.
Yeah.
So it's a nice place to get old in.
Yeah.
It is.
Well, look, have you got, do you have a website or?
Yeah, I don't have a website, but I have email.
Okay, could you give me the email then?
Sure, sure. I'll spell it for you. Yahweh2, that's Y-E-H-W-E-H.
Y? E?
Wait a minute. Oh, sorry, no. Y-A-H.
Yeah, Y-A-H.
W-E-H.
W-E-H.
Yeah, Yahweh.
Yeah.
And then, the number 2.
Yeah.
At.
Yeah.
PeoplePC.com.
PeoplePC.com.
Right. And just email me, and then I'll have your address.
Yeah. Well, what I'll do next, let me see what I can do with this podcast. And then I'll write to you and give you a couple of links of things that I'm working on that you'll relate to.
Cool.
And in the meantime, it's been lovely catching up with you again.
Very good. Very good indeed.
And you now know for sure that if I say I'll phone again, I'll phone again.
Phone again.
Jimmy?
I'll phone again.
Lovely talking to you. And I will be in touch. I'll be in touch soon.
Cheers.
Thanks, Jimmy. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.